Gone South has been a podcast about crime in the American South. But for our new season, we're widening the lens. Follow and listen to Gone South Season 5, available now on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your shows.
$40 trillion in debt. That sounds alarming. Is it? I'm looking at U.S. debt clock, which, boy, if you want to go dizzy, go to usdebtclock.org, and they have about 4,000 debt calculators up there just to try to make you feel like an absolute disaster, that this is an absolute disaster. $40 trillion. This story broke yesterday, and I don't know about you guys, but I was left with this question of, like, is this, it feels bad. I remember back when we used to care about the national debt, it feels like we have not really cared about the national debt for quite a while. Pat Raykamp is a senior financial writer with 1834, a division of Old National Bank, and he is with us to well, at least share what Pat can about whether or not we should care about this. Pat, I know people like you care about the debt, right?
Well, I think we're all going to care. It's going to impact a lot of things within the economy if the nation doesn't get this debt issue under control.
So for a long time, there's been this attitude of, like, well, the idea of being concerned about the debt is an old-fashioned economic principle, and it's all sort of just financial mumbo-jumbo. It's just on the ledger sheet.
Maybe. I mean, the $40 trillion figure, it makes a nice headline, right? That's why
it's alarming. Yes, it was like breaking news yesterday, $40 trillion, and you say, like, holy crap, what are we doing?
I think a couple of things, though. There were some forecasts from a couple of years ago. They were expecting us to hit $40 trillion 2028, yeah. 2 years earlier than expected. So this is a snowballing effect here.
Is this... So people always want to take government spending and say, like, well, if I ran my household like the government did, like, you know, or if I ran my business, I'd be put under.
Sure.
There's some validity to that, but this also is like, do we owe somebody $40 trillion? Like, what is this exactly?
Well, individuals, institutions, other governments, they end up buying this debt. So, yes, I mean, it is out there and it is real. I think what's going to be real curious what happens, though, is now interest on the debt is annually running at $1 trillion with a T. That's just the interest.
That's, so that's why this thing has been, like, doubling.
That's what's increasing the size of the debt load dramatically. And think about it, $1 trillion. You could use that on interstates. You could use it for tax cuts. I mean, you could fill a whole whiteboard of things you want to use that money with, and it's literally just to service the debt. It's become the second largest line item in the government's expense.
There used to be an argument made anyway that, like, well, yeah, like the spending, the way we were spending the money was generating more activity and it was better for the economy. And so worrying about the debt is not the most important thing to worry about. Is there a point where it gets so high where you're like, well, now it is the most important thing to worry about?
There's some arguments to that where they like to look at debt to GDP, which is just how big is the economic output of the country versus its debt load. I get some of that, even though those numbers are getting alarming.
I don't know. I'm looking at a chart right now that shows debt to GDP, and our national debt is 123%.
I haven't seen any forecasts either that expect that to go down anytime soon. At the current trajectory, it's only going to get worse.
Both political parties, it's Republicans who have made the most hay about the national debt over the years, and it's also Republican administrations who have done their part to add to the national debt as well. So I don't know. Does any political party have a claim to being the, you know, debt hawks, I guess?
I don't think either party typically cares about it now. I mean, when's the last time you've heard of any politician really talk about the debt and what's going on with this? But it's going to become an issue. And if the politicians don't get serious about this sooner or later, the bond market's going to care. And then things will get pretty interesting.
And that's the question, right? Because the stock market has been pretty hot.
Yes.
And there are concerns about Treasury.
That's just it. The yields, which is just the interest rate on the Treasuries, those have been rising. Well, why do we care? The 10-year U.S. Treasury, very closely tied to what 30-year fixed mortgage rates go for. 10-year Treasury yields have been up. Guess what? 30-year fixed mortgages have been up, which is the real popular lending tool for houses. I think now we're seeing 30-year fixed mortgages around 6.7%. The U.S. 10-year Treasury, if that goes above 5, I think it's pretty reasonable to expect mortgage rates above 7%. And the housing market's been pretty tough to begin with.
When you look at the ability to pay this back, right, part of the reason that the U.S. is able to issue debt is that investors trust that the government will pay it back.
That's
we're
exactly
good for
right.
it.
That's exactly right. It's considered a safe haven asset. The U.S. hasn't defaulted on its debt, so it gets a lot of leeway on this.
At $40 trillion, do you start?
There's been some chatter within the market that some investors are thinking when's enough is enough. And you're seeing yields rise, the interest rates rise on them to attract more buyers. There's been a couple of things going on that way. Interest rates are going up. Corporate bond issuance. All these mega tech AI companies are issuing a ton of debt to fund these data centers. Other countries, too, are issuing a lot of debt to fund their various projects. It just creates a very crowded market for all this debt.
So many, you know, so many companies, so many big financial, big tech,
exactly.
and big government. Just everybody's trying to borrow money.
Everyone's doing it, and there's only so many buyers for all this debt, so they have to raise rates to attract buyers.
Pat Raykamp is with 1834. It's part of Old National Bank. So the question, you know, if you're a young person, you're like, well, haven't we always? I mean, the national debt clock, sort of the billboard in New York City, has been a thing. It feels like forever.
It hasn't been, though.
It hasn't been.
I was actually looking at this today. It was 2001 was the last year, I believe, the U.S. ran a surplus. And that was 4 or 5 years in a row they ran a surplus. Since then, 2002 to now, they've been running deficits. And it's been snowballing. Deficit spending is generally considered okay amongst developed nations. However, it's really been getting big figures. And we only have seen these type of big figures historically in major events like World War II, some big economic shock. Yes, we had COVID. Yes, there's the tensions with Iran. But these have generally been okay times.
Yeah.
And now this massive...
It doesn't feel like...
No.
I mean, yes, everything feels like a crisis today, but it doesn't feel like, holy crap, we should be borrowing trillions of dollars.
This isn't World War II where right. literally the entire globe is on edge. That's what makes...
So what are we doing?
That I don't know. It's been. I wish I had a good answer to that one, but nobody seems to care about this. And again, the bond market will start to take notice of this at some point. You're going to see yields and interest rates go up.
You mentioned other countries are carrying some big debt loads.
They are.
Similar to us or not quite?
From the most recent figures that I have, China's the next closest, and it's about half of what the U.S.'s debt total is. Any real developed nation, Japan, big debt loads, United Kingdom, France, Italy, India, Germany, they're all deficit spending to a degree. Now, the U.S. economy is a lot bigger, too, so there's a theory that we can afford it. But is this an area that you want to be number one at as far as total
right.
debt load?
I'm Susie Welch, the host of Becoming You, a podcast where I help you stop living by default and start living by design. Listen to Becoming You wherever you get your podcasts.
I mean, here's the thing, Pat, like even when you look at our cities and our states where by statute they're required to run a balanced budget,
yes.
it is not, I mean, it's a political loser to do what like what Mayor Fry and Mayor Herr are doing in Minneapolis and St. Paul, which is talking about making cuts and raising taxes and their cuts. I mean, Minneapolis is like we're eliminating 100 jobs or really eliminating like 7. It's just a bunch of open positions,
sure.
right?
Sure.
No one has the guts to make large scale cuts because everything has a constituency that thinks it's important. And most of this stuff is important. It's good. But politically, who's voting for someone to, well, let's go reduce the debt. We're going to feel so good when that $40 trillion is down to $36 trillion.
Well, that's just it. I mean, again, no one's really talking about it. Now,
that's not going to be my campaign. I'm never going to get elected if I tell people I'm going to reduce the debt.
It's not going to get you elected, but it's an unavoidable issue at some point. I mean, right now, the U.S. is running about a $2 trillion deficit. So you can either cut spending by $1 trillion and raise taxes by $1 trillion or some combination of that. There's no political appetite to do that.
Right. Right. But there is an end point at some point, you think, right?
Is there an end point on it? I mean,
are we going to hit $100 trillion and you guys are going to you and me are going to be back talking about that?
Well, I think we're going to be old men by that point, hopefully.
I don't know.
Unless we do it anytime soon. It's hard to know where this is going to go. But I mean, I do keep going back to this point, is they're going to have to address it at some point, because if they don't, yields on U.S. treasuries are going to keep going up. It's going to push mortgage rates up even higher, and people are pretty agitated at 6.7% mortgages versus the 3.1% we got used to.
President Trump in 2016 said he was going to eliminate the national debt.
It stands at $40 trillion, so that didn't happen.
didn't quite work out. It's tough. I mean, even like when Elon Musk and Doge kind of went to try to reduce federal spending, it's tough. It's tough to fight the sort of the boulder that just rolls downhill, you know?
The thing I'll say about Doge, and from a financial aspect, I think it was somewhat interesting, is he did a lot of stuff around the margins. What are the big outlays within federal government? Social Security, Medicare, the net interest on the debt, and defense. Those are pretty tough areas to cut.
Yeah. It's super interesting stuff. $40 trillion. It feels bad. Can't we just print more money?
Well, that's kind of what we're doing now, yes. The debt issuance has been going up to help fund what's going on. Now, I don't want to make this alarmist. It's not like government workers are going to losing paychecks immediately or somehow Medicare is just going to stop. That's not what's going to happen in this case.
Texter says, I will vote for someone who will reduce the debt. There's at least one vote.
I'd have to look at what congressional districts
run. It used to be a popular campaigning thing, but now the popular way to campaign is you just give stuff away to everybody.
Well, yeah, you either...
And you say you're going to cut the waste. Well, then you get to office and everyone's like, well, that's not waste. That's my favorite program.
Right. That's exactly it.
Oof. Pat, good stuff. Thank you for shedding a little light on all this for us.
Thanks, Jason.
Pat Raycamp, 1834. A senior financial writer there, division of Old National Bank. Let's break. In a minute, we talked a little bit about the president. There's been more action today. And look, I know a lot of you guys want to rag on Donald Trump. But can you blame the guy for wanting his name on the Kennedy Center? They said he couldn't have his name. They couldn't call it the Trump Kennedy Center. Now they want to put it on. I would like to know. What would you like your name on? What would you like? Because you deserve it. Name something after you. 651-461-9226. You better believe that I've been thinking about what I would name after me. I mean, I have a little bit of the Trump spirit in me, don't you think? There's a little bit. Drive Time back in just a minute.
Hey there, it's Jill Schlesinger. I'm launching a new show. It's called Money Moves, and your money is going to move. We're going to help you make better financial decisions. We're going to call out the BS you're finding all over social media. We're going to give you actionable guidance to make your financial life clearer, less stressful. We're going to answer your financial questions and take the mystery out of your financial life. Follow and listen to Money Moves with Jill Schlesinger wherever you get your podcasts.